Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. When soldiers fight in foreign wars or when diplomats attempt to stabilize fragile countries, they often butt up against cultural beliefs and practices very different from their own. Learning about different cultures and developing skills to interact with others is now one of the areas of instruction for U.S. military and foreign service personnel. It's also a major focus of a new academic journal that Norwich University has just launched. The first issue of the peer-reviewed Journal of Culture, Language, and International Security was published this month. The editor, Robert Green Sands, explained to me why the issue of cultural competency is so important.
The last 10 years that we were in Iraq and in Afghanistan, was kind of labeled, couched under this term of counterinsurgency. And counterinsurgency was a way of doing warfare that we had not done for quite a while, and in fact, never done well. We were put in situations where pulling a trigger was not the only way that we were supposed to get our mission done. And so when we went into Iraq initially, we went in not knowing the kinds of interpersonal skills and cultural knowledge that we needed to know to work on the ground, because in Iraq and then later Afghanistan, that's where we found we made the most progress, was locally on the ground with cultural groups that we needed to influence to help us with our mission. And so when we found that out after 2003, the Department of Defense and all other related agencies really stepped up and started to create culture and language programs that would help facilitate this.
Is that new? I mean, were we doing any of this in previous conflicts, previous to the last 15, 20 years?
We were doing this well in Vietnam. Not the conventional way that we went in, but the Green Berets and Special Forces in Vietnam were utilizing a lot these skill sets, but we really didn't know what they were. We hadn't really done a lot of study on them, but we came out of Vietnam with that being one of the, the positive aspects of our mission there. And then as soon as Vietnam was over, we went into this Cold War conventional, let's fire missiles and drop bombs on you, and really didn't need to understand or know the cultural groups that were involved. We just needed to know where the missiles and the bombs were going to go. Iraq and Afghanistan really reawakened us the understanding that these skills are indeed important, especially if we're going to be doing asymmetrical or irregular warfare.
There are some people who might say, look, the important part is still just to know where to drop the bombs and missiles. Who cares about cultural competency? Or is it so important to our ability to succeed that you really have to care about cultural competency?
Well, there's an interesting array of beliefs about this very issue across the Department of Defense, and even in Congress, isn't there? To me, the world has changed. The world is now a more transnational security landscape. Nation states are indeed important actors, but cultural groups all the way down to extremists or religious groups or cultural groups that are caught in an insurgency, these are the currency of how we're going to be successful. Obviously, Crimea in Ukraine has, rekindled some of that, I don't want to say nostalgia for Cold War, but certainly that understanding that indeed nation state actors continue to play an important role in our international security. But I've got to tell you, we chase probably more cultural groups that are terrorist and extremist groups, and those groups that could easily become terrorist or extremist groups, more than we're, just as much as we are trying to continue to understand the nation-state approach. So I would have to say that, this cross-cultural competence and some of the other kinds of things that are rolled up into culture and language programs are indeed essential for today and for the rest of for a next decade at least.
How does that then infuse what you're going to be doing with this new journal coming out of Norwich, the Journal of Culture, Language, and International Security?
The journal makes the point that when you come back from a extended land war someplace else, and you come back and that's over, then a lot of budgetary changes are made from a wartime to a peacetime. And with that come cutdowns, and we already are seeing that in the Department of Defense. I'm sure the Army is going to whack 80,000 to 90,000 people off from their ranks in the next 1 or 2 years. And also, you have to start reprioritizing your budget. And so as always, language and culture gets the short end of the stick. We're a very soft skill for many people, and that is one of the first things that goes. So in the Department of Defense, we need to figure out a way to institutionalize or maintain that, especially all the, you know, all the progress we've made on understanding how important culture and language is, and continue to push it down the road in research and in learning development. So we stood the journal up because we wanted a space where we could continue that discussion with people within the Department of Defense, researchers, academics, and others who are very interested in continuing this line of discussion, even though, on one hand, resources for it may dwindle.
So give me an example of what kinds of studies and articles and research you plan to have in this journal. I mean, it looks like you're pulling together not just people who are involved in defense or in military activities, but also anthropologists like yourself. You're looking at a lot of different kinds of people to talk about these issues.
Right. Culture and language, the efforts that in the last 10 years have been a multidisciplinary effort. I mean, it has taken anthropologists, psychologists, sociologists, linguists, applied linguists, international relations people. We have all worked toward the goal of promoting culture and language programs. And that synergy that we've developed has to be maintained because the culture and language programs and the skills and the abilities and even the knowledge that we've identified as being critical, that was brought about by this multidisciplinary synergy. And for us to continue to do that, it needs to be continued as well. One really interesting thing about the journal that we hope to promote is obviously academics are important. Obviously the program managers within the Department of Defense are important. Researchers are important for these efforts in the journal, but also the operators, the military people themselves who have been there and who have really great experience and narrative to bring to this discussion to make it applied and make it meaningful.
So do you think this will go out to troops, for example?
Well, we hope so. We hope it will go out to whoever who would need it, but then obviously that's the game you have to play these days to make sure the material that you develop it gets out. But yes, we hope so.
Why was it important to make sure that this journal was easily accessible and open to anybody, though? I mean, a lot of the peer-reviewed science journals, for example, you can read an abstract, but you can't read the full study unless you subscribe. In this case, you're making it open to everyone.
If we open the access up, then we open the aperture of people that will actually have be able to read it and then be able to provide meaningful experience and ideas to it. That's one of the things. And I guess from a more personal level, and my colleagues who have worked really hard in the Department of Defense the last 10 years, we're a very passionate community. We have given ourselves, and some of us, because of our host discipline's reaction to why we are doing or supporting the Department of Defense. I mean, we've taken some hits. And so for us, it's the passion that drives us because we feel that this is something that is meaningful and can certainly have benefits for our international security for the next decade or so.
Rob Sands is the editor of a new journal launched by Norwich University this month. It's called the Journal of Culture, Language, and International Security. He's also the director of the Institute for the Study of Culture and Language at Norwich. Professor Sands, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.